Australia Day, it really should be a moment of celebration, I guess, a chance for people from all backgrounds to come together and reflect on what it means to be a part of this multicultural nation. But each year, the controversy around this date grows stronger, marking as it does the arrival of the First Fleet, a date of trauma and displacement for Indigenous Australians. Now in a new book, Stan Grant argues this day has become a battleground. Last year, he says, that battle was waged more fiercely than ever before. This book tries to find a way through the conflict, some kind of resolution. Stan Grant is an academic these days and an author and international affairs analyst at the ABC. Stan, welcome back to Breakfast.
Hey, Fred.
Stan, as a Wiradjuri man and the descendant of an Irish convict, you wrote that for a long time Australia Day represented a struggle within yourself, a struggle between your ancestors. Today, what does Australia Day mean to you?
That it represents all that we are, Fran, and all that we are not. And I think there's a tension that lives in that day that speaks to both the great country that Australia is and the remarkable achievements of building a country that, like Australia, with the freedoms that we enjoy, the tolerance, the cohesiveness, the prosperity, and the hangover that is still felt deeply within Indigenous communities, what Czesław Miłosz, the Polish poet, once called the memory of wounds. And I think that tension between the trauma and suffering and ongoing tension around that issue really speaks to who we are as a nation. And I think that's what I try to explore in the book, that space between us rather than the tribalised sort of polarised politics of our age.
So I get the sense reading this that you have moved too over the last few years. I mean, you say in the book, I am John Grant and I am Frank Foster. They're your
two one Aboriginal and one Irish ancestor. Yep. Yeah.
I am the view from the ship and the view from the shore. So have you moved and have you somehow reconciled those views within yourself?
It's an ongoing process, you know, and I think as it is an ongoing process for the country. But what I really wanted to explore, moving on from Talking to My Country, a previous book that I'd written, was this question of being trapped in history. Can we ever emerge from history? Is it true that those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it? Or is it also true, as someone else once said, those who remember the past too much are condemned to misinterpret it? And I wanted to see whether I could live free of that fraught history and to bring together the two sides of my family and, in more broadly, look at the question of how in Australia we live with that fraught history set against the reality of the country and the greatness of the country that we live in today.
So when you write, for now, January 26 is all that we are, it is all that we are not, and Australia lives in that tension, does that mean, to be clear, you're not an advocate of changing the date? And if not, I wonder why, given that so many first Australians, it's pretty clear they are not able to move beyond it, so they would never be able to celebrate on this day.
But many do. Many Indigenous people have been Australians of the Year. Many Indigenous people are involved in the commemoration and celebration of that day. I think the day itself, through the discussion around moving the date or even abolishing Australia Day altogether, that discussion has moved us to a point where we come to Australia Day more broadly in Australia in a different frame. I think it has taken on a much more reflective character than it had in the past. It's not just about the bombastic celebration of a nation, but to also look more deeply and reflect on who we are. And I think in terms of moving the date, Fran, it can be too easy, that question. It doesn't resolve anything. I think we need to ask ourselves, who are we as a nation? It would be pointless to move the date while ever we have not dealt with the legacy of Terra Nullius, while ever we have not dealt with questions of treaties, questions of recognition of Indigenous rights in the Australian Constitution. All of these questions will not be resolved by moving the date. I fear, in fact, it may be a cop-out that takes those things off the agenda.
And you fear also that it could just exacerbate the division, don't you?
Well, it could. It would be, we have no doubt, given the politics of our age, that it would be reclaimed by some, particularly on the far right, as a day of white pride or a reclaim the date. Similarly, there are some Indigenous people who are so wedded to the idea of the unforgivable forgiving grievance and vengeance of history, that moving the date would make no difference anyway. And I think what we need to do is to look at what it tells us about who we are. And the point I make in the book is that tension is where we live. That is at the heart of our nation. To move the date without even resolving those issues or attempting to, or to live, in fact, with the reality that in nations you can never properly reconcile everything.
Well, that's true. But do you think, you said that last year was the fiercest battleground.
This
date was the fiercest battleground we've seen so far. And yet at the same time, you're talking about a more reflective character to the days, which is true as well, I think. But the politics of the time working against us working this out right now.
Absolutely, Fran. And I don't think that reflects only on Australia. And what I try to do in the book is to take the Australia Day issue and place that in a bigger context. If you look around the world today, our politics is driven by historical grievance and vengeance, polarisation, tribalism, an increase of sectarianism and nationalism, borders are going back up, a blowback against immigration, populism that is feeding into that sense of grievance. We see that in America with the election of Donald Trump. It lies at the heart of the Brexit decision. You know, look at what Xi Jinping tells the Chinese people. Never forget the 100 years of humiliation by foreign powers. Vladimir Putin speaks endlessly of the great catastrophe of the 20th century being the collapse of the Soviet Empire. I look at Australia and I say, what is our touchstone, cultural and historical issue? It is Australia Day. It is that question of identity. And I think some of the anger that we are seeing about around this feeds into the global narrative about the politics of vengeance and resentment and how that shapes the politics of identity.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Stan Grant is our guest. It's 25 past eight. But, you know, as you write, the Constitution, our foundation document, is written so that we do not count, we being first Australians. You say we've got to go back and look at the national story and we've got to get treaties in place or look at those issues. You're calling for a new declaration, a declaration of country. What is that? Is it something that would sit within the Constitution, alongside the Constitution?
Outside of that, you know, I forget who it was now, but a Scottish politician had once said, if I could write all the songs, I would not care who wrote the laws. It's a beautiful idea, this idea that a nation is not a collection of laws, it is a story, it is a song about a nation. I was involved in the referendum council in the discussions leading up to the Uluru Statement from the Heart, and what emerged from that was a desire amongst Indigenous people to find a deeper sense of reconciliation, meaning and belonging, and to invite the rest of Australia into that deep sense of belonging. I think speaking about a declaration of recognition does not go far enough. A declaration of country, that this is our country, that the ancestors, my ancestors, black and white, their bones are buried in this land. A wonderful line from Carl Jung. He once said that land assimilates its conqueror. We are part of this land, and a declaration of country speaks to all sides of my family and all of us who live in this country and call it home.
So you're talking about a document that we all relate to as our own rather than one that recognises there were people here first and then there was the development that happened beyond
exactly.
there.
Exactly. It begins with the first people of Australia, but it continues to include the most recent arrival in Australia. It deepens our sense of spiritual belonging that allows everyone to share in the deep heritage of this country, but it cannot also ignore the fact that there are political and legal ramifications that we have not dealt with in terms of recognising the full rights of Indigenous people in Australia.
Stan Grant, just finally, I know you're approached by the Prime Minister to run as a Liberal candidate. You said no to that. I have no idea where your personal allegiances lie, but we are just 4 weeks away from a federal election. How likely is it, do you think, that we will have a referendum on Indigenous recognition in this next term?
I hope so. I think both parties have moved. Bill Shorten certainly has it on the agenda. The latest comments from Scott Morrison, the Liberals, that they are opening their minds again to this idea. I think it was treated appallingly. I think after the process of delivering the Uluru Statement from the Heart, to haul it out with the trash on a Friday afternoon, and that's the summary way in which that was treated, did not do us any service. The majority of Australians overwhelmingly are in support of Indigenous recognition. It goes to deepening the strength of our bond in Australia. It completes the political union of Australia. And Fran, what's remarkable about this? this is that here were Aboriginal people and Islander people who were locked out of the political process historically, who were saying, we don't want to reject the idea of Australia. We want to embrace the Australian Constitution, embrace Australian liberal democracy, and locate our aspirations within that. That is a wonderfully unifying and deeply galvanising idea. And I hope that it actually gains some traction, because the people are on board with it. Now we need to get the politicians on board. But you need a narrative, Fran. First, you need a story before the law.
Stan Grant, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Stan Grant is Professor of Global Affairs at Griffith University and International Affairs Analyst at the ABC. His latest book is titled Australia Day. In it, he makes this pitch for a declaration of country. He says it should be the work of poets. So this is a shout out to all the poets out there. Get working on this declaration of country. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 8:29.